This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Ducks' streak of consecutive drafts with a first-round pick continued last night as Josh Connerly went 29th overall to the Washington Commanders, and with the 21st pick, Derek Harmon went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That streak continues, which started back in 2020 with Justin Herbert going to the Chargers, then 2021, Penei Sewell to the Lions, 2022, Kayvon Thibodeau to the Giants, 2023, Christian Gonzalez to the New England Patriots, and then last year, Bo Nix to the Denver Broncos. Six straight years, that's a record for the Oregon Ducks to have at least one first-round pick, and they get two off the board, and that is that's the first time that they've had two off the board in quite some time. I think 2015, Marcus Mariota and Eric Armstead both going in the first round. So a decade in between getting two guys drafted in the first round. I think we kind of get numb to it because you see Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Texas. They get multiple guys in the first round all the time.
It's not a common occurrence outside of those schools.
But for most schools, having a streak of first-round draft picks, pretty good sign and signal of the health of your football program. And to have Oregon, we've talked about this at length, the biggest change that Oregon has had over the last 8 years has been in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And you've seen that with the quality of players that have come through and the guys that are getting drafted, you know, start with Penei Sewell and Kayvon Thibodeau going off the board in this streak. Now you have one on each side of the ball with Harmon and Connerly.
Yeah, and that's been my biggest belief in what Lanning has built at Oregon. Like, don't get it twisted, I've been a hater for a long time, but the reason why I think the Ducks are actually heading down the path they're heading down, look, I mean, getting the skill position guys like that, the Ducks have shown they've been able to do that and obviously do more with less with when it started with Chip, you know, grabbing guys that fit his scheme more than anything else. Now Lanning has come in and carried off that momentum, and they're not just getting like the gadget guys. You're getting the best wide receiver in the class and DeCorian Moore to elevate the skill level position because you're getting the trench guys that are able to bolster that up. And it's a little bit chicken or the egg kind of situation. But the idea that you can get the skill guys without having the trench guys, like, look no further than the school that I go for in SC. They got the skill guys and didn't get the trenches. And then they struggled to get the skill guys again. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at when Lincoln got there, yeah, he brought over all the toys. You had Jordan Addison. You had Caleb Williams. You had, you know, all these guys, and you didn't really do much in the trenches. And then the second year, you got your ass kicked. And all of a sudden, a lot of those top-end skill guys left the program because the trenches weren't there. And if you look at Oregon, you're not seeing that. You're seeing more skill guys come in because the trench guys are what dictate everything on both sides of the ball.
Derek Harmon going to Pittsburgh is the perfect fit.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to go quarterback. I was surprised they didn't go quarterback there. They must feel really good about Aaron Rodgers coming to Pittsburgh.
Or something on day two.
Or potentially, they don't have a second round pick. Which is going to be a problem if you're trying to get a quarterback. But, you know, is it a trade maybe with Atlanta? In one thing that has been very clear, apparently, is that Kirk Cousins doesn't want to go to a team that has a young quarterback, which, dude, come on. First of all, get over yourself.
Yeah, you're transitioning into that role, brother.
And the other, you're not good enough to dictate those terms anymore. And I don't think you ever have been.
Yeah.
But apparently Atlanta's asking price is very high.
Because they're going to have to eat a bunch of salary.
Well, guess what Atlanta's going to have to do? They're going to have to start building through the draft, and they gave up a future draft pick. Their first-round pick next year goes out the door because they moved back into the first round in probably one of the dumbest trades I have seen. They needed edge rushers. They get Jalen Walker with the 15th pick. Then they traded up to 26th to get James Pierce out of Tennessee, which he has been tagged with a bunch of red flags.
Yes. Both for off-field and medical.
And on-the-field production, too, kind of taking series off, plays off, inconsistencies there. But now Atlanta, they need some draft capital to come back their way. And they're sitting on an aging quarterback. Maybe that is what can get them back into the getting some draft capital is by trading Kirk Cousins. I don't know what Pittsburgh is going to do at quarterback, but I know one damn thing. Derek Harmon is a guy that fits that scheme, fits that style, is going to be able to learn from Cam Hayward, where you can't ask for a better guy for Derek Harmon to learn from because they are very similar in that they are interior defensive linemen that create a pass rush, but are also very good against the run and the tricks of the trade. Dude, it's a seamless transition that they'll be able to go through there. And, I mean, it's just heartbreaking to hear what Derek Harmon's going through.
Gut-wrenching, man. I mean, you know, he does the interview after this draft and mentions that he's got to get out of there because he's got to go see his mother who's on life support. And just kind of reading about it, his mother has had unfortunately, she passed away shortly after Harmon was able to get to the hospital. But she had had 8 brain surgeries. Growing up, and apparently she had had a stroke that had just kind of debilitated her, but she was able to see her son get drafted, and it sounds like he was able to get there and say, I did it before she passed. But man, he called it bittersweet. Now it's,
I think of all of the emotions that you go through. This is the biggest day of your life, and it's going to be the biggest day of your life for multiple reasons. Yeah, not just fulfilled your dreams of everything that you've been working for to get to the National Football League and be a first round pick, but it's also the passing of your mother, which trumps that.
Yeah.
And you lost your mom. I mean, it's an incredible emotional day for Derek Harmon, to be sure. When you watched it, you saw the amount of tears in that room.
Yeah.
It wasn't just because he got drafted.
No.
The emotions are everywhere in the Harmon family, and our thoughts go out to Derek Harmon and his entire family, man.
I can't imagine that. Just, you know, if you want to, you know, chalk up the story, well, at least his mom got to see him get drafted, and it's like, yeah. I mean, I'm not taking that away because it is a big deal, and like that, you know, her last memory in the world is watching her son reach his dreams. It's pretty damn good, but it's still, you know,
gut-wrenching stuff. Gut-wrenching stuff. 8 picks later after Harmon, Josh Connerly goes to Washington, and this is going to be an interesting move for Josh Connerly as well. The Commanders, their offensive line is interesting. Remember, they traded for Laremy Tunsil this past offseason. So if you look at where Washington is at from a depth standpoint, you have Laremy Tunsil at the left tackle, Andrew Wiley at right tackle, Nick Alverghetti at left guard, and then Sam Cosmi at right guard. They went and they just said, all right, we can never have too many offensive linemen. Connerly is projected as a guy that can play both inside and outside, though he hasn't played inside. We're talking about a supreme athlete, though. Was basketball player, former running back in high school, that they said, hey, you're getting too big, and put his hand on the ground and turned into the best offensive lineman in high school football in the country.
Yeah.
And he has been an outside offensive lineman. They think he can do both, and that's going to be an interesting move for him. One thing that's always stuck out to me about Connerly is that he's always been a sponge, and the coaches have said he's a sponge for knowledge, just wants to learn everything, not just what he is doing, but what everybody else is doing on the offensive line. It appears that that's going to be the plan for Washington, to kind of say, all right, where can you thrive?
They're
going to
slow
play
him. They said all the reports right now is that the Commanders don't have to rush him. So if they want to have him be the guy that is the utility piece as he learns the NFL game and picks up the tricks of the trade there, if either Tunsil or Wiley get dinged up, he can be the first tackle off kind of a deal. Or does he kind of learn the interior game and become your starting left guard? But the way they're saying it is basically you can never have too much, and it's you're not wrong.
You like, cannot
it being better there, and then somewhere down the line that, or hell, let's say he goes into training camp and he's a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got, okay, now you've got depth in your offensive line, but you also, now you have a tradable piece, not him, whoever he replaces.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's not a bad thing to have.
And when it's a 100% injury sport, it's good to have that depth there. Great to have that depth there.
And the Commanders just seem like they're doing stuff right.
Yeah, like functional organization.
They just seem to be functional. It's like, is Connerly the best or, most pressing need? No. But if you're looking at it and go, we were really good. We were in an NFC title game, and the team that we lost to, where they're really good at? In the trenches. Where we should probably get better at so we can keep our franchise quarterback upright? In the trenches.
In the trenches.
It's not rocket science.